This morning we continue our series on the Ten Commandments for the 21st century. And we've come to the fifth commandment, which I am calling this message the honor role, or the role that honor has in our lives. When I was first getting started in serious Bible study, one of my favorite preachers and writers was a guy named G. Campbell Morgan. He was a British preacher from the first half of the 20th century. You may notice his name. I've quoted him quite a bit in the series on the Ten Commandments. Dr. Morgan and his wife had four sons, all of whom became ministers. And one day at a family gathering, somebody cornered one of his sons, Howard Moody Morgan, named after the evangelist D.L. Moody. And he claimed later in his life, he says, "I plead guilty to being the boy who, when asked who was the greatest preacher in the family, spoke up heartily, looked straight at my dad, and said, 'Mother.'" Now, we come to this fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And no, it's not a coincidence that we're considering this particular commandment on Mother's Day. It just worked out that way in the calendar. But I want to see this morning the role that honor plays in the home and how that affects many other areas in our life as well. Warren Wiersbe writes, "In a world that worships and imitates youth and uses assisted suicide to eliminate unwanted old people, this commandment sounds like an echo from a time warp. But the Jews were taught to respect age and to care for their senior citizens, a good example for us to follow today. Someone has said that senior citizens, the elderly, are the only outcast group that everybody expects to join, because nobody wants the alternative. But how we treat them today will help to determine how we're treated tomorrow, because we reap what we sow." So we might want to think about that when it comes to our attitudes towards our parents and our parents' generation as we get older and they get older, because one day that's going to be us. And we may want to be treated in a way that we've treated them. Now, we need to hear this subject today. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul's description of the last days found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "Mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Sound a little familiar? Sounds a lot like our culture, doesn't it? But notice in all of those descriptions that Paul gives, he mentions disobedient to parents as one of the marks of how terrible times it will be as we get to the end. You see the same thing in Romans chapter 1, where Paul is talking about how mankind and society snowballs in sin. It just gets worse and worse. And towards the end of that chapter, he writes, and beginning in verse 29, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They're senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." Now, we might not think of disobedient children as a threat to society, but God does. God says that is a sign of a society that has lost its way. They have no honor for their mother and father. They do not listen. They do not obey. It's a serious matter in God's eyes. Now, when you look at the fifth commandment, as it's given in Exodus chapter 20, you see, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Paul echoes this very command in Ephesians chapter 6 and expands on it a little bit. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, when it comes to the Ten Commandments, many scholars will divide it into two sections. The first part about our relationship to God, the second part about our relationship to others. This is why Jesus, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. In doing so, he basically summarized the whole Ten Commandments in those two statements. Now, most see the first four commandments as relating to God, and the last six relating to our relationships to one another. Though some have even said maybe this fifth one belongs in that first list, because mom and dad are the first representations of God in a child's life. And how we treat mom and dad is often a reflection of how we treat God. And what we learn from mom and dad often influences how we view God. So there could be a connection there as well. But isn't it significant? Even if this is the first of the Ten Commandments that deals with relationships with others, he begins in the home. He begins with family relationships. I don't think that is a coincidence. God first established the family before he established government, before he established a community, a nation, anything else. He began with the home. The husband and wife, the mother and father, the children. That is the beginning. That is the cornerstone of all society. So in knowing how to relate to one another, he doesn't begin with how kings ought to reign or how soldiers ought to fight or how merchants should conduct their business, but how children should behave at home. And that's where it begins. In fact, Walter Kaiser sees a connection between this command and the command that follows. He says this text has a finite verb, but the context in which the commandments are given is now set. Honoring your father and mother, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness. This is how we honor mom and dad, by listening to their instruction, by following their example, by living a life that can make them proud. That's the role of honor when it comes to our parents. And it all begins at home. So I would like to begin this morning with the premise of honor. What does it mean when the Bible says, honor your father and your mother? Honor in the Hebrew language actually has the same meaning as the word heavy. Now, I realize I'm treading on thin ice here. I'm talking to mothers. But it's not heavy as far as the weight of a person. That's not what it means. It means heavy in the sense of importance. When someone says, this is a weighty matter, it's something very important. And that's how the Hebrews used that word, and that's why it means honor. It means worthy of respect. It's to hold in high opinion. It's to have reverence for someone. It talks about God in this way. You know, there are some passages that literally in the Hebrew says our God is a heavy God. It does not mean that God is overweight. It means that God is worthy of our respect. He's worthy of our honor. And that is the same kind of honor we are to give to our father and our mother. It's a way of saying respect. In fact, in Leviticus 19:3, you see, each of you must respect your father and your mother, for I am the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that we always agree with them. It doesn't mean that they're always right, but it does mean that we always treat them with respect and with dignity. Always. And we must train our children to do that from very young age so that they will learn to respect mom and dad. Because I got a little hint for you, newsflash. It don't come natural. Okay? What's the first word babies learn after mama and daddy? No, right? And the next one is mine, right? Okay? Now, that's not because your child is a delinquent. That's because every child is a delinquent. It's part of our sin nature. We're born that way, all right? And mom and dad, part of your job as parents is to train your children to be respectful, to honor, and that honor begins with you. It's not too much to expect children, even from a young age, to respect their parents. Unfortunately, we see a lot of that not happening in our day and age, don't we? Kids grow up and treat their parents any way they want, talk to them any way they want, nothing happens. That's not going to bode well for them later in life, as we're going to see. So the premise here is respect. It's honor. Because if a child can learn to respect authority early at home, then he'll know better how to respect authority when he goes to school, when he gets on the job, when he's dealing in his community. Wherever they go, they'll know how to relate to authority based on how they relate to yours. So it's very important. In Malachi 1:6, God says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where's the respect due me?" You see, the relationship at home between a son and a father, a daughter and a mother, and the other ways as well, will translate into that child's later relationship with God. If they're not taught to honor mom and dad, how are they going to honor God? If they can't respect the authority they can see right in front of them, how are they going to respect an authority they can't see? It really does begin at home. Romans 13 speaks of governmental authority. It says that all authority comes from God, ultimately. And we are to respect that authority. Why? Because all authority comes from God, even parental authority. You say, "Yeah, but you don't know my mom and dad." Doesn't matter. We are to honor. We're to respect. I already said they're not always right. We don't always have to agree with them, but we need to learn how to respect and how to treat with honor and dignity. And in Romans 13, Paul says, if you rebel against the governing authorities, you're rebelling against God. The same is true at home. When you rebel against mom and dad, you are rebelling against God. And that has to be taught. So this is the role of honor in our lives. The home becomes the classroom where honor and respect is taught. And the first course deals with honoring mom and dad. God gives this relationship very high priority because it ultimately leads to honoring himself. As D.L. Moody wrote, the tree grows the way the twig is bent. And that's true. And that starts early. Now, if the premise of honor is respect and dignity, what does the practice of honor look like? How do we do it? And again, the Bible gives us some very specific ways. Proverbs 1:8. Says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Proverbs 23:22 adds, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." What is a way that we can honor our father and our mother? Listen. Listen to them. Honor is linked to listening. In Proverbs 15:33, we read, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes humility." In order to honor anybody, but especially honoring mom and dad, it requires humility. Again, that goes against our grain. That goes against our nature because we are proud by nature. But we have to learn to be humble. And if you're going to honor mom and dad, you have to be humble. And that's another important lesson that needs to be taught early in life that will really benefit later on. Ephesians 6, 1-3, we mentioned this earlier. Paul equates honor with obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You can say that you honor your father and your mother, but if you are not following their instructions, if you refuse to live under their guidelines, it just doesn't pan out. It doesn't play. If there's honor, there's obedience. Now, this does not imply that a child should obey their parents' orders if that violates God's word. But they better make sure that it's really in violation of God's word. And not just, I don't feel like it. So obedience. Not just listening, but obeying. Doing what we're told. Again, this is important because all through your life, you're going to be told what to do. Everybody has a boss. Even if you own your own business, you still have an authority over you. And how you relate to mom and dad is going to affect how you relate to those authorities later in life. You know, too often it's taken for granted that this commandment's only for young children, but nothing could be further from the truth. Now, it is initially addressed to children, that's true, but even as we grow older, we are still commanded to honor our parents. And one way we can do this is as they get older, we step in. We look out for them. We provide for them. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5:8, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You might have somebody that can quote half of the Bible, and they go to church every Sunday, and they, you know, are known as a Christian, but if they're not taking care of their own family, what kind of a testimony is that? And we do have an obligation to the degree that we can to look out for our parents as they get older, to honor them, to respect them, to support them. To honor our parents means to obey them in our younger years, to support them in their older years, and to respect them through all the years. Now, I want to conclude this morning by considering the promise of honor. We've already mentioned this is the first commandment, it's actually the only commandment, that has a promise attached. That it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first heard this verse, and I was young, I took this very literally. If you do not honor your mother and father, you will not live long on the earth. My parents had something to do with that. They kind of reinforced that view. You don't listen to us, you may not be around very long, right? Maybe you heard a line something like, you know, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Make another one look just like you. That wasn't that bad. But seriously, I mean, to a small child, you look at it that way. You know, mom and dad, they can kill you if you don't listen to them. That's not what this verse is talking about. Although in the time of Moses, there was a literal component to this commandment. In Exodus 21:15, the very next chapter after the Ten Commandments are given, anyone who attacks his father or his mother must be put to death. They didn't mess around. You did not attack your parents in that society or they put you to death. Two verses later, verse 17 says, anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. They took this very, very seriously. Now, of course, it's not a capital crime in our culture. But listen to Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a profligate and a drunkard." Then the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. God is not messing around when he says, honor your father and mother. Now, this was part of the civil law in the land of Israel. We don't live in that jurisdiction. Our own culture doesn't take it that seriously, but God is reinforcing the fact that this is something we need to hear. It is possible, and there are times when you can probably think of other lives where this has been an example, that when parental authority is not honored, the authority of others is not honored either, and this can lead to a foolish, premature death. Proverbs 19:16 says, "He who obeys instruction guards his soul, but he who is contemptuous in his ways will die." And how many, especially young people, I'm thinking teenagers, early 20s, throw their lives away because they won't listen. Because they do something foolish, they do something stupid, and the Bible talks about dying the death of a fool, and that's exactly what happens. Some of you may remember, wow, it's been 30 years ago. There was a young man that came out of college. He was a basketball player, and he was just a beast. This guy was just an amazing player, big guy. And one of the things he was known for, his mother brought him up, you don't mess with drugs, alcohol, none of that. He was very clean. A great ball player, graduated from the University of Maryland. They thought he'd be a very high draft pick. He ended up being drafted second by the Boston Celtics, one of the great franchises in the NBA. This guy had his whole life in front of him. The night of the draft, they have a party. Guy walks up and says, "Hey, you ought to try this. It's cocaine. It'll make you feel great." All his life he had said no, but one time he says, it's not going to hurt. One time he tried it, he died. Gave cardiac arrest, he's dead. Life thrown away because of one time. Now you say, well, how many people use drugs all the time and they never die? That's true, you never know. But less than a year later, a pro football player, just a couple years older than that young man, on the night before he was to get married, someone offered him cocaine for the first time. He tried it and died. And you think, how incredibly stupid. You know, why didn't you just learn from the other guy's mistake, right? And both of these young men had mothers that had raised them right, that had raised them to stay away from those things. And when they didn't listen, it cost them their life. Now, I'm not saying every time you go against what mom teaches you, you're going to die. You might. There are times when people do. You're actually risking your life simply by not honoring, not listening. But this promise that God gives is unique in that God says it will go well with you. The promise is actually that the Israelites will live long in the land that he's giving them. And the reason we can see this is in Ezekiel 22, when God is giving a long list of reasons why they're going to lose the land, why they're going to lose this promised land he had given them. Near the top of the list in verse 7, you see, they have treated father and mother with contempt. They did not obey the fifth commandment, and the promise was reversed. Instead of living long in the land, it's going to be taken from you. again, how serious God takes this idea of honoring our parents. And it's not only of national survival. There's, I believe, a spiritual element to this as well. Because how children relate to mom and dad is going to go a long way into how they relate to their heavenly Father. If they cannot listen, if they will not respond to authority at home, it's very unlikely that they're going to submit themselves to God and live. So it's so important that children are taught to honor the authority of mom and dad. Because not only does it have implications for this life, but also for the life to come. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that honoring father and mother is a way to earn salvation. It doesn't work that way. But there is a connection between how we relate to our parents' authority and how we relate to God's authority. And furthermore, how we treat our parents, regardless of our age, is a reflection on our testimony for Christ. D.L. Moody writes strongly, "You may be a professing Christian, but I wouldn't give much for your religion unless it gets into your life and teaches you how to live. I wouldn't give a snap of my finger for a religion that doesn't begin at home and regulate your conduct toward your parents." You may go to somebody and say, "I follow Jesus. I'm a Christian." And they say, "Really? Prove it." One big way is how you treat your parents. And if you treat your parents with disrespect, you are undermining the very testimony that you try to give. How can we claim to love our Father in heaven if we disrespect our mother or father here on earth? And so on this Mother's Day, we're reminded of the importance of the honor role in our lives. Parents, make sure that you're teaching this to your children. I know it's hard work. Your children probably won't appreciate it at the time, but in the end, it'll help them become responsible people in all areas of life. And children of all ages, honor your mother and your father. Listen to them. Obey them. Respect them. Care for them. You literally would not be here without them. Even though they're not perfect, they are the ones who gave you life. And they are the ones that you ought to respect. I know for myself, I owe an awful lot to my parents. They raised me to respect authority, to love, and to obey God, and to treat others with regard. I don't know that I would classify her as the greatest preacher of the family, but I know that if they could be with me today, my father and my brothers would, in the words of Proverbs 31:28, rise up and call her blessed. And I agree with Chuck Swindoll, Mother's Day should not just be one day a year. We should honor them throughout our lives. I would like to close this morning by reading from that passage, Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31. In honor of my mother, honor of my wife, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." And I think for all of you who have been blessed to be raised by godly parents, especially a godly mother, we can all be thankful for the impact of their lives on our own. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, once again, we are reminded of how much we owe our mothers and the debt of gratitude that we can never repay. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you especially for godly mothers who raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, who raise their children to come to a faith in you and provide an example that we can follow. I pray for all of us that we would be challenged anew, that we would look inside and consider, how are we treating our parents? How are we raising the next generation to treat parental authority and all other authority? I pray that our lives might back up our lips, that our testimony would ring true as people see the way we respond to our parents, to authority in our lives, as that is a reflection on how we respect you. I pray that this would be a special day for all of our mothers, and we do give you thanks for them. In Jesus' name, amen.